Let's pray. Almighty God, we pray this morning that you would fill us so much with your presence that there is no room for anything else, especially that which would draw us away from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last week we began a series simply entitled Back to the Basics, and looking at what is it that launches us into the next 100 years. What was it that in those first 100 years, how God had blessed this congregation, blessed his church, blessed you and me, and what is it that we then build upon into the next 100 years and beyond? And last week we took a brief look at this whole idea that, as Warren mentioned, we are a missional church because we serve a missional God. He has a mission to seek and to save the lost. Or as the choir sang this morning, to enter into the kingdom of God. But every once in a while, there are things that kind of get in the way of that joyous reality. Have you ever thought about if you were in one of the hurricanes, if you were in a forest fire, if you were in an earthquake, if you were in a tornado, let's see, what am I missing here? There was another one. But if you were in one of those situations where you were told to evacuate, what would you take with you? I never did come up with an answer to this, the 11 things we can't do without over a 3-day weekend. And there was no answer to it, and I didn't make one up. But I thought, you know how interesting that is, that there are some things that just take over, they overshadow us, and they're reflective of the values that we hold and that we have. A number of years ago, a group of military chaplains, we were given this exercise, and it said, if you had to take only 25 books with you. Now, if you know any clergy, you know that they have a few more books than 25. And so, okay, come up with your list of 25. All right? Now, pare that down to 15. Now, pare that down to 10. Now, you're only allowed to take 5 books with you. I don't even remember what 5 books I said I was going to take, but I know what 2 of them were. My Bible and a Louis L'Amour Western. And it somewhat reflected my values that I said, I need something for entertainment. So I'll take the Louis L'Amour Western. But there are those things in our lives that, whether consciously or unconsciously, sometimes just take over and actually begin to push God out of his rightful place. And so that's why, as we look back at the basics, as we look at that, we're a missional church that serves a missional God. We ourselves each are witnesses and missionaries. And we point to the one God. That's what, in that gospel reading, that's what Jesus was talking about. Actually, this comes out of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. As it's repeated in the New Testament by Jesus, and in this instance by a lawyer, it changes a little bit. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. They add with your mind. But the point is that there is no other place for anything else in our life, in a sense. We love the Lord our God first and foremost, and that's the way it needs to be. That is what in the Old Testament and in the New Testament said, that's number one. The lawyer said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. And Jesus says, you're right. You got it. That's the number one spot. But Paul confronted a situation that was entirely different. Or we might say, had kind of gone off on a little bit of a detour. And that is that they had come up with all sorts of other things to put in place of God. I call them, and there's a lot of different things, but I just have chosen the isms. Materialism. Consumerism. Is this one over here. The legalism. And that was, of course, the Pharisees that Jesus ran into each time. Sometimes nationalism can be so powerful that it kind of usurps God's place. Or there's narcissism, the love of self. Or there's individualism, it's just me and everybody else can be on their own over here. Or as Paul ran into, syncretism or universalism. And it was mostly the syncretism that we'll somehow combine all religions and you just take a little bit from here and a little bit from here and a little bit from here and everything is fine and good. Or universalism that says everything is okay. It's these isms that often take over as the gods in people's lives, and maybe even in our own lives. And that's why in that New Testament lesson that Norma read so marvelously, that all the names, it was excellent. In that New Testament lesson, it says at the very beginning, Paul's spirit was provoked. Now, this is an exaggeration. I don't think Paul went like that and was just in total agony, but he was in agony. In fact, another translation says his spirit was deeply troubled. He was deeply troubled because as he went around, as he walked around Tuesday market, Saturday market, as he walked around the marketplace, as he walked around Pioneer Courthouse Square, as he walked around those spaces where people gathered, he began to see all these little altars to various Greek gods, and I'm guessing they probably threw in a couple of Roman gods. And as he walked around, what got to him especially, and where he saw his opening to begin to deal with this in their life, was to the altar of the unknown God. The Athenians were, and I would say probably reflective of some in our culture today, and I don't have a good word for it, so I just call it religionism. They were religious individuals. But it was that religionism that was blinding their eyes to the one true God. And so, to make sure they hadn't missed any, they put up the altar to the unknown God. And that's where Paul saw his end. That's where Paul saw that he could do something. And so he starts out by describing who this unknown God is. And isn't that where you and I begin to deal with the isms in our own life or in the culture in which we live? To making that unknown or making the known clear to all of those around us. Paul started out by saying, and if you look at that, it says he made all the worlds, he's not served by men's hands, he's made of one, every nation of people, there's a common origin, and he goes on and on down the list. From verses 22 on, he starts laying out who this God is. And when we look at that list, we come all the way to the end and we say, well, there can't be anyone else but this. But it means that we have to confront the isms or the idols or the gods in our own lives and be aware of that which is around us. Because there is this opening that the Spirit always gives us. That's why I think Paul's spirit was provoked within him, because the Spirit living in him said, Paul, I have put you on this mission. I have sent you to the Gentiles. I've sent you to this whole region. And as such, then I'm giving you the message to share. God has called us as a congregation into this midst for 100 years. And it's true that Hillsboro doesn't look anything like it did 100 years ago. And I'm going to say that in 20 years, Hillsboro is not going to look anything like it does now, especially if you've been reading all the updates on South Hillsboro right over here. It's just going to be a different place. But this is where God has placed us. This is where God says, I want you to be this missional community. I want you to be this light, this salt. I want you to be this focus point for me in this area. And not just Trinity, but all those followers of Jesus. But to do so, we have to acknowledge who we are as a missional people, as a witness, as a follower, and then we have to start at the basics and say, all right, who is it that we serve? Do we love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength? That's number one. And we do so, first of all, by remembering who we are and who God is. I love this little passage. I also like the picture, but I love the passage from Isaiah 46 where it says, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. That's why Paul had that opportunity. That's what so excited him, exasperated him, provoked him, but excited him, because he could say, let me tell you about this unknown God. The one that those individuals served without really knowing them. Paul said, let me share who he is. And as we launch into this next 100 years, that's still part of our mission. Still part of our purpose, that as we follow Jesus, we let individuals know that may not even be serving an unknown God. They may not even know anything about a God. And yet the reality is that they serve a God every day. Even the atheist who says there is no God has put himself or herself in the place of God. And so for you and I, our next 100 years, we have that focus, that purpose to reveal, to make known the unknown God. Let's pray. Gracious God, as we gather in our time of worship, as we pause to hear your word through the scriptures, as we sing and put your word into music, as we hear the message through the choir today, may our spirits be uplifted. May they be refreshed and re-energized so that we too can share the joys, the wonders, the salvation of that unknown God to some, but the God that we know so well in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.